Dr. DK is an associate professor of pediatrics, division of pediatric gastroenterology, hepatology, and nutrition at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. She was once an MPF fellow and attended the MPF Fellow Symposium in her first and second year of pediatric gastroenterology fellowship at the University of Iowa. Her major clinical interest is to care of children with all forms of pancreatic diseases.
My name is Chinna Edike. I'm a pediatric gastroenterologist at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. I direct the pancreas clinic there. And the title of my presentation is The Untold Story of Microbiome in Pancreatitis. I have no relevant disclosures. Hopefully at the end of the talk, I'll be able to explain the microbiome and the pancreas and the relationship between what happens in the gut microbial milieu and pancreatic inflammation, implications of gut taxonomic and functional profiles in pancreatitis, and some interventions that have been studied targeting the gut microbiome to improve acute pancreatitis severity. So when I was given this title, I kept thinking the untold story of the microbiome in pancreatitis. I felt maybe another name who could be rethinking the role of the microbiome, and another name could be the missing role of the microbiome in pancreatitis. Well, we do know that the incidence and prevalence of pancreatitis has increased globally. This study was published late 2024, showing that incidence and prevalence of pancreatitis has actually increased worldwide. But we do also know that children can have aggressive disease and can progress rapidly from acute pancreatitis to chronic pancreatitis within the first 2 to 4 years of their AP attack. And severity is what plays a big role in progression and complications. And unfortunately, management of acute pancreatitis is still supported. So this was a systematic review of adult studies done in 2016, and they wanted to evaluate the influence on infection on mortality in those with necrotizing pancreatitis. They included 71 studies and almost 7,000 patients. What they found was that infected necrosis is an independent risk of organ failure, and both infected necrosis and organ failure increase the risk of mortality or death in acute pancreatitis. Well, we used to think that the pancreas was a sterile organ, but we now know that what happens within the gut also affects the pancreas. We know that the pancreas, the bacteria in the gut can gain access to the pancreas through several mechanisms, including the oral route, but also translocation from the bowel into the pancreas. But further, we now know that there are antimicrobial peptides that are in the pancreas that actually can control the gut microbiota and vice versa. But the other thing that we now know is that this study was just recently published in late 2025 that shows that fecal calprotectin, which we've always known as a marker of gut inflammation, is significantly increased in patients with acute pancreatitis, just as it is in those with Crohn's disease, telling us that there is some level of gut inflammation that also occurs in patients with acute pancreatitis. So the big question is, can we predict the severity of acute pancreatitis if we study what happens in the gut microbiota? And so I'm going to present some human and some preclinical data that already is showing this. So this is a study that included both adult patients, but they also had mice models of preclinical data. What they found, as we can see, is that when compared to patients with controls, severe AP, significantly decreases the alpha diversity. There's a difference between controls and or healthy controls and those who have severe AP. But when you look at the preclinical data as well, you can see that giving antibiotics significantly improves inflammation in those who are in the mice that have severe AP. But then when you transplant fecal microbiota from healthy mice to those who already got antibiotics, to the mice that got antibiotics, there was significantly worsening of pancreatic necrosis and edema. It just tells us that there is a role that my antibiotics was able to improve inflammation, but then reversed when even transplanted with a stool from healthy mice. And in their human data as well, they did see significantly decreased observed species in AP in patients with acute pancreatitis compared to healthy controls. The beta diversity was also different between acute pancreatitis patients and those with healthy controls. They included 130 patients and with acute pancreatitis and 35 healthy controls. They found that Escherichia shigella was the predominant genera in patients with acute pancreatitis, and that was significantly associated with inflammatory cytokines. They also found some of the genera like Enterococcus, Streptococcus, and Lactococcus that also did the same as the ES complex. So, what data do we have in children? In strong collaboration with Cincinnati, Dr. Boelheiger and I, we all and the team, we published the first data in children, showing that in patients with acute pancreatitis, the gut microbiota is different when you compare them with healthy children. This study was a prospective study that enrolled children within the first week of and first episode of a pancreatitis of Cincinnati Children's. Shotgun metagenomics was performed, and they were compared with healthy controls from that were recruited from another study. What we do see, looking at the graph, the upper left graph, we can see that the Shannon diversity, which is a measure of alpha diversity, you see a significantly decreased Shannon diversity in patients with acute pancreatitis compared to healthy children. You also see different, these are, breakage distances that are different, showing dissimilarity and different beta diversity between those with acute pancreatitis and healthy children. And then the graph lower down shows that in those, if you separate out those with mild acute pancreatitis and moderately severe and severe acute pancreatitis, that the beta diversity is different between the two. And then the curves on the right, the graphs on the right side just shows you the species that are abundant or depleted in those with moderately severe and severe compared to mild. And we do see a lot of the what we call beneficial bacterial species and bacteroidal species are very well depleted in the moderately severe and severe group compared to the mild group. When you zoom in to see which actual species are most abundant in patients with severe, moderately severe and severe AP compared to mild acute pancreatitis, two particular species stand out, the Enterococcus faecalis and Clostridium citronem. So what we were able to conclude from the study is that not only do we see significant differences in the gut microbiota diversity and composition between acute pancreatitis, children with acute pancreatitis and healthy children, but even amongst those who have moderately severe and severe, the gut microbial composition appears to be different from those with mild acute pancreatitis. So the same team, we went further to look at, are we only seeing these changes during the time of acute pancreatitis attack, Or is this something that lingers on or continues on? And this is one of the very big strengths of this prospective observational cohort registry at the Cincinnati Children's Hospital that's led by Dr. Abuel Hajar. What we can see from this curve, so let's look at the graphs on the left side of the screen, looking at Shannon diversity, we see that the alpha diversity that is represented by Shannon diversity is actually still significantly much lower than the alpha diversity of healthy children, even at 12-month follow-up. So at 3 months, there wasn't even any much change. At 12 months, yes, it improves a little bit, but you can still see that it's significantly much lower than the alpha diversity of healthy children. Similarly, the graph next to it showing better diversity shows that the better diversity is different and does not approach that of healthy children, even at the 12-month time point. When we look at the box plot below on the left, I'm looking at how different is the diversity at 3 months or the composition at 3 months and 12 months from baseline. There isn't much difference in the better diversity between the 3 month follow-up and 12 month follow-up compared to the baseline AP samples. But what we do see on the graph or the figure lower down beneath the better diversity is that even though we don't see much changes in the better diversity, we do see that over time, some beneficial bacterial species start increasing, such as Bifidobacterium bifido at 12 months. We also try to look at association between the gut microbial composition and diversity and clinical outcomes. We can see here that compared to patients who have compared to, we can see the better diversity is different for patients who had recurrent acute pancreatitis and those who didn't. And we also see in the curve below that for patients who had multiple GI symptoms at follow-up, their better diversity was different from those who had zero to one GI symptom at follow-up. So it tells us that not only is the gut microbial composition and diversity different between healthy children and those with acute pancreatitis, but also in those who continue to have symptoms at follow-up, their composition of their gut microbiota is different from those who do not have continue to have GI symptoms. So the gut microbiota is associated with symptomatology at 12-month follow-up post-AP. Another group has also looked at chronic pancreatitis and its association with the gut microbiota. They did see the enrolled children 4 to 18 years, almost slightly predominant female gender, and they did 16S RNA sequences. They did see significant differences in better diversity between those who had chronic pancreatitis and healthy children, and also differences in the alpha diversity measured by Shannon diversity between the children with chronic pancreatitis and healthy children. But they also saw that depending on the mutations of the patients, some bacterial species were either more abundant or depleted based on what genetic mutations that they had that increased their risk for pancreatitis. So I guess the big question is, I know this gut microbiota and changes in it's fairly recent in the past decade in pancreatitis work, but what can we learn from other diseases where it's well known that the gut microbiota plays a role and they already have some therapeutics for improving and managing those diseases based on their understanding of the gut microbiota. Yeah, it may be interesting to learn that children with acute pancreatitis and Crohn's disease, they do show similar gut microbial composition that is different from children who are healthy and those who have irritable bowel syndrome. So this was also a collaborative study with a lot of great minds at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. Those who look at the functional GI disorders, but also those who look at the gut microbiota and inflammatory bowel disease. And what we found, as you can see from the graph on top, looking at observed species and Shannon diversity, which are all measures of alpha diversity, is that the alpha diversity is significantly much lower in patients with acute pancreatitis and Crohn's disease compared to those who have irritable bowel syndrome and healthy children. Similarly, the graph next to it shows box plots for Shannon diversity, showing that the Shannon diversity for children with acute pancreatitis and Crohn's disease are similar, while those for children who are healthy and who have irritable bowel syndrome are much higher. When you look below that those box plots, the better diversity is also different between children who have acute pancreatitis, Crohn's disease, from those who have irritable bowel syndrome and healthy children who are clustering together. And we did a sensitivity analysis and can see the area under the curve that shows that we can tell the AUC for children with acute pancreatitis and health and Crohn's disease. Their AUC is quite high at 92% and 97% respectively. And then these are some of the species that show up more that are either abundant or depleted in those groups. So this was a study just showing that children with acute pancreatitis, they behave similarly as those who have Crohn's disease. And those with Crohn's disease already have a lot of therapeutics in that space, targeting the microbiota. So the big question for acute pancreatitis is, can modulation of the gut taxonomic and functional profiles help to stop the course of AP, but also prevent complications, severity, and recurrence, and maybe even progression to chronic pancreatitis? And when we say this, or when we ask this question, people get uncomfortable in there, they get uncomfortable, and rightly so. They do that because of this big trial that investigated six bacterial strains, the ProPatria study in adults with pancreatitis. It was a double-blind, randomized controlled clinical trial. It enrolled only patients with severe acute pancreatitis. And they either got the probiotic or placebo. The probiotic was made up of six strains of bacterial species. And their primary endpoint was infections, and their secondary endpoints were mortality and organ failure. Well, what they realized was that those who were in the treatment group had significantly more deaths than those on placebo, mostly caused by multi-organ failure. And so that's why many people get uncomfortable when we talk about probiotics or prebiotics in the treatment for helping manage acute pancreatitis symptoms or reducing AP severity. But the big question is, are probiotics truly bad? Can we conclude from one study that probiotics are truly bad in severe acute pancreatitis? I think it's important for us to see the wheat from the chaff. And the truth is, some people have gone ahead to try to rebunk the findings of that trial to try to explain what may have gone wrong in that trial that led to more deaths. They felt that in the presence of inflammation, given that amount of probiotics may have caused a lot of proteolysis, leading to high mortality rate. There could have been bacterial fermentation of the carbohydrates with release of lactic acids that may have contributed. In their paper, they said that the key takeaway is it's important to start probiotics early to prevent host intestinal flora overgrowth, which there was a lot of things going on, even in the patients who got probiotics, and they worried that they were feeding also the bad bacteria just as well as they were giving the good or the beneficial bacterial species. To try to limit the fermentable carbohydrates given and to increase the dose of probiotics. That being said, what about prebiotics and symbiotics? I mean, probiotics are one, but you can also give just the nutrients that the bacterial species need, or you can give both with the bacterial species that are beneficial with the nutrients that will help them grow in symbiotics. Well, I'm going to talk about this systematic review or meta-analysis that was done pooling both probiotics, prebiotics, and symbiotics in acute pancreatitis in adults with severe AP. It was a meta-analysis of nine randomized controlled trials, and they actually found that these therapeutics decreased length of stay and organ failure, and they didn't see any difference in mortality. So, in conclusion, I know I have left you with more questions than answers, and I think that's the field of the microbiome in pancreatitis is that we know some, but we don't know all yet. But we do know is that gut dysbiosis is present in acute pancreatitis, and it's not just present during the time of attack, but actually continues even up to 1 year after the attack. And that some beneficial bacterial species we start seeing them increase at around that 1 year mark, but we don't get them back to healthy control levels. And that gut dysbiosis may be a risk factor for the development of some important clinical outcomes, such as recurrence and persistence of GI symptoms. With this, I will just need to thank all the people who are helping to collaborate with this work, Dr. Dudeja, Dr. Iyer, Dr. Papakristou, Dr. Hey, Chanling at Ohio State University, and then the first two at University of Iowa. I think it's important that we work with both the preclinical models and the human models to try to understand this better and be able to develop therapeutics that will improve outcomes in acute pancreatitis. And overall, I thank God and family, friends, especially a strong mentor and collaborator in Dr. Abuel Hajia, who without her, really, she's the one that really started this registry and thought about this early and started collecting the data and just been a great mentor and collaborator ever since. And with that, I will thank you all for inviting me and for listening. Thank you.